Imagine spending, I don't know, a decade meticulously crafting your signature singing voice.
Right, just putting in the hours.
Exactly. You've played the empty rooms, you've blown out your vocal cords on terrible sound systems. You know, you've spent thousands of hours finding that specific, unmistakable stylistic tone that is uniquely yours.
Yeah.
Then you wake up one morning, you scroll through your feed, and discover an artificial intelligence has cloned it in like 3 seconds.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And it's releasing hit songs, it's collaborating with artists you've never even met.
Unbelievable.
Right. And the absolute worst part, you aren't getting paid a single dime, and nobody ever asked for your permission.
That is the nightmare scenario right there.
It really is. So, welcome to the deep dive. Today, we are analyzing a massive collision between cutting-edge technology, the music industry, and the fight for what our sources are calling musical sovereignty.
Which is such an important term right now.
It really is. We are looking at a new initiative called Sing the IP. It's driven by an intellectual property advocate and best-selling author named Cary Oberbrunner.
Right.
And he's essentially building a framework for musicians to fight back against this unauthorized AI scraping.
It is a phenomenal topic because, honestly, the ground is shifting under creators' feet faster than the legal system can physically track.
Yeah, way faster.
We are at a juncture where understanding the mechanics of this dynamic isn't just some niche topic for tech insiders.
Right, it's bigger than that.
It's a fundamental survival skill for anyone who creates, distributes, or even just consumes art today. I mean, the rules of ownership have been completely rewritten in the last 24 months.
They really have. So, to really understand the sheer scale of the threat to the music industry, our sources start by looking at how Cary Oberbrunner discovered this problem firsthand.
Yeah, his origin story with all this is super interesting.
It is, because he didn't start out trying to solve a music industry crisis.
Right.
He's an author, an entrepreneur, an IP advocate.
Right.
But he had this massive personal wake-up call when he realized hundreds of thousands of his own copyrighted books were actively being used as training material for artificial intelligence systems.
Just scooped right up.
Exactly. His life's work was literally feeding the machine.
And we have to look at how that feeding process actually works to understand the violation here.
Yeah, how does it actually do that?
Well, the AI bots don't just, read a book the way a human does.
Right.
They use these massive web crawlers to scrape the text, tokenize every single word, map the syntax, and ingest the underlying ideas and structures.
Just ripping it apart, basically.
Exactly. They use it to train the neural weights of a large language model. They are essentially digesting the intellectual labor of the author to make their own algorithms smarter and more valuable.
Wow.
What's fascinating here is that Oberbrunner documented instances where not just his books, but his PEDx content.
Wait, his videos.
Yeah, his actual spoken ideas and vocal pacing were showing up in AI-generated outputs and derivative online content.
That is wild. He had this stark realization that is directly quoted in our sources. He said, "My books were used to increase the value of AI companies."
Which is the court issue, right?
Exactly. And when he looked over at the music world, he realized the exact same thing was happening to musicians, but arguably at a much more visceral level.
Oh, total.
Because, I mean, it's one thing to have a machine mimic your writing style, but it is another level of violation to have a machine steal the literal sound of your vocal cords.
It's incredibly personal.
Yeah.
And that asymmetry of value exchange is staggering.
Okay, let's unpack this. It's like spending years building a beautiful, custom-designed house, right?
Oh, you like this.
And someone just walks by, takes a 3D scan of it, and starts mass producing and selling identical copies while you're still stuck paying the mortgage.
That is a brilliant way to put it.
Yeah.
Because in any traditional economic model, if a massive corporation uses raw materials to build a commercial product, they pay the suppliers of those raw materials.
Right. You buy the wood, you buy the bricks.
It's exactly.
Yeah.
But generative AI companies are treating human creativity as a natural resource to be mined for free.
Just totally up for grabs.
Yeah, they are aggressively transferring value from the individual who sat down and did the hard work of writing the book or composing the song directly to a corporate algorithm.
And the original creator receives zero compensation.
Zero compensation and zero credit.
But wait, I have to challenge this premise before we go further.
Okay, lay it on me.
Because if we are talking about taking existing audio and making something new out of it, how is this any different from what hip-hop producers have been doing since the 1980s?
The sampling argument?
Yeah, I mean, the entire genre of hip-hop was built on traditional sampling, taking a drum break or a vocal hook from an old record, chopping it up, and transforming it.
Right.
So why is AI scraping a terrifying theft rather than just the next technological evolution of a sampler pad?
That is the exact defense many AI companies are trying to use in court right now. Yeah, they're claiming it falls under fair use. But if we connect this to the bigger picture, there is a massive fundamental difference in both the mechanism and the scale.
Okay, how so?
Well, when a hip-hop producer samples a James Brown drum break, they are taking a specific static piece of a finished product and recontextualizing it.
Right, they're using that one recording.
Exactly. They aren't gaining the ability to magically generate infinite new James Brown songs.
Ah, okay. I see where you're going with this.
AI scraping, however, doesn't just copy an audio file. It analyzes the isolated vocal stems. It converts the audio waves into detailed spectrograms.
Wow, so it's really getting under the hood.
It maps the singer's formants, their vibrato, their unique breath control. It creates a mathematical model of their actual vocal apparatus.
That's actually terrifying.
It is. It isn't stealing a sample. It is stealing the artist's capability to produce.
I see. So a sampler copies a moment in time, but an AI copies the machinery of the artists themselves.
Yes, precisely.
But wait. If AI can flawlessly learn a singer's specific vocal tone and release infinite tracks, aren't human artists essentially being forced to compete against digital ghosts of themselves?
That's exactly the problem.
Because how can a human output music fast enough to keep up with a bot that never sleeps?
They can't. And that brings us to the scale of the problem. A human producer might chop up one or two samples a day.
Right.
An AI model can ingest millions of songs in an afternoon.
Yeah.
And then spit out tens of thousands of entirely new tracks in the style of a specific artist.
In a single day.
Yeah. The human artist is suddenly forced to compete in a marketplace flooded with infinite synthetic imitations of their own voice.
That's completely unsustainable.
It is. If an artist tries to compete on volume, they will lose. This is why our sources focus so heavily on the concept of musical sovereignty.
Right. Sovereignty meaning supreme power or authority.
Yes.
Having the ultimate unquestionable agency over your own creative identity. Because if any anonymous user on the internet can prompt an AI to generate a song using your exact emotional resonance and vocal tone.
To sing lyrics you might vehemently disagree with, by the way.
Right. Who are you as an artist then? You've lost control of the vehicle entirely.
Exactly. And traditional defensive strategies are completely failing musicians right now.
Yeah, the old ways just don't work anymore.
The old playbook of waiting until a song is mixed, mastered, and released to start thinking about intellectual property is dead.
It's too late by then.
Way too late. If you wait until release day, the scraping bots have already ingested the track the millisecond it hits a streaming platform.
Which forces a really difficult question. If taking your music entirely offline isn't a realistic option for a working musician...
Because they need to build an audience, yeah.
Right, so how do you actually defend yourself? Because my instinct would be to say, well, just file a DMCA takedown notice or sue them for copyright infringement.
Sure, that sounds logical.
But according to the source material, that traditional system is practically obsolete against AI speed.
It is obsolete because of the bureaucracy and the burden of proof. Let's look at traditional copyright.
Okay.
It is still vital, and the Sing the IP initiative stresses that you absolutely should still pursue traditional copyrights, trademarks, and patents.
So don't abandon the old system entirely.
Right. But this raises an important question. How does the legal system adapt to the speed of AI?
Because it's famously slow.
Exactly. Filing with a government copyright office involves massive bureaucracy. It can take 6 to 9 months to receive your certification.
Wow, up to 9 months.
Yeah. Meanwhile, AI models are updated and trained in a matter of hours.
Right.
By the time your paperwork clears, your vocal model has already been distributed to a million users.
It's already out in the wild.
Furthermore, if you do catch an AI company using your voice, the legal burden of proof is entirely on you.
That seems backwards.
It is. You have to definitively prove in a court of law that you, the human creator, possessed that specific original arrangement of audio data before their algorithm was trained on it.
And a traditional poor man's copyright, like, you know, mailing the CD to yourself and leaving it sealed.
No, yeah, that old trick.
That isn't going to hold up against a multi-billion-dollar tech company's legal team.
Not a chance.
So this is where the technological countermeasure from Sing the IP comes into play. They are working alongside a platform called Instant IP to introduce a completely different paradigm for creators.
Yes.
Their new mantra is protect first. Promote second.
That phrase is the crux of the entire initiative. Protect first, promote second.
It makes a lot of sense.
In the analog world, artists would often promote a track, see if it gained any traction in the clubs or on the radio.
And then deal with the legal stuff later.
Right. If it became a hit, they would spend the money to worry about legal protections. Today, sharing unprotected audio is the equivalent of leaving the keys in the ignition of a running car in a bad neighborhood.
That is a great analogy. So let's get into the actual mechanics of how they are protecting it, because the technology is fascinating.
It really is.
The sources detail the use of blockchain-backed documentation, timestamping, cryptographic fingerprinting, and chain of custody records.
It's a lot of buzzwords.
I know, right? I want to make sure we explain this clearly, because the moment people hear the word blockchain, they usually think of cryptocurrency or speculative trading.
Oh, absolutely.
Which isn't what this is at all, is it?
No, not at all. Remove the financial aspect of crypto from your mind entirely.
Done.
In this context, a blockchain is simply an immutable, decentralized public ledger.
Like a giant digital record book.
Exactly. It is a permanent digital record book that cannot be hacked, altered, or backdated by anyone.
Not even the government.
Not even a government, and certainly not an AI company.
Okay, so if I'm an artist and I just finished recording a vocal take in my studio, how does this cryptographic fingerprinting actually work?
Okay.
Am I uploading my raw, unreleased WAV file to a public blockchain where anyone can just steal it?
Great question. And the answer is absolutely not. You never expose the raw file.
Oh, thank goodness.
Right. What the Instant IP platform does is use an algorithm, typically something like a SHA 256 hash function.
Okay.
When you drop your audio file into the software, the algorithm mathematically analyzes the file and spits out a unique string of 64 characters.
Just a string of text.
Yes. That string is the hash, or the cryptographic fingerprint. It is entirely unique to that exact audio file.
Oh.
If you go back and change a single breath, or adjust the EQ on a snare drum by like 1 decibel, the algorithm will generate a completely different 64-character string.
Okay, so instead of waiting months for a government office to mail you a paper copyright certificate, this blockchain fingerprinting is like putting a digital, unhackable wax seal on a song.
Yes.
The exact second it leaves the recording studio, you lock it down instantly. It's not just a wax seal, actually. It's like taking a mathematical DNA swab of your audio file.
That is a perfect analogy. You take that DNA swab, the hash, and you anchor that to the blockchain, along with a timestamp that records the exact millisecond it was created.
And the audio file itself.
You keep the actual audio file safely on your hard drive.
Awesome.
But now you have an unalterable, mathematically proven receipt on a public ledger. It basically says, I, the human creator, was in possession of this exact digital DNA at this exact date and time.
That makes total sense. So if, you know, 6 months later, an AI company releases a generative audio tool and you notice the output sounds suspiciously like your unique vocal runs.
Right.
They might claim, oh, we didn't train on your data. Our machine just independently invented that sound.
Which is their favorite excuse.
Right. But you can produce your original audio file, run it through the same hashing algorithm, show the judge the matching DNA string, and point to the blockchain timestamp proving you owned it months before their model even existed.
Exactly. You establish undeniable prior art.
That's huge.
It shifts the legal dynamic entirely. You are no longer scrambling to prove ownership after a theft. You have established an ironclad chain of custody from the moment of creation.
Wow.
And because this process is automated and digital, it provides an immediate first layer of protection in minutes, rather than the months it takes for government bureaucracy to process traditional paperwork.
And looking at the source material, the scope of what musicians are documenting with this technology is massive.
It's everything.
It's not just the final polished master track that gets uploaded to Spotify.
No, definitely not.
The initiative emphasizes that creators need to lock down the entire creative pipeline. They are fingerprinting raw lyric sheets, isolated vocal recordings, live performance audio.
Everything. Underlying compositions, musical arrangements, basically entire creative catalogs.
That seems like a lot of work, though. Why the raw stems?
They have to, because AI scrapers are indiscriminate. An AI doesn't need a perfectly mastered radio hit to learn.
Really?
In fact, it often learns better from isolated elements.
Oh, that makes sense.
If you post a 30-second TikTok video of yourself just singing a cappella in your bathroom to test out a melody, that raw vocal stem is incredibly valuable training data.
Because it's learning human inflection and room acoustics.
Exactly. If you don't fingerprint that raw video before you hit post, you are basically donating your voice to the machine.
So what does this all mean? Because I'm trying to picture the indie artist, you know?
Yeah.
The 19-year-old making beats in their bedroom, or the singer-songwriter who plays local coffee shops and maybe has a couple hundred monthly listeners on streaming.
Right.
Is this level of cryptographic protection really something the indie artist making beats in their bedroom needs? Or is it just for the next Taylor Swift?
Oh, it is arguably more crucial for the bedroom producer than the massive pop star.
Really? Why is that?
This is where a lot of independent artists make a fatal miscalculation. They assume that because they aren't famous, AI companies won't bother stealing their work.
Right, they think they're flying under the radar.
But AI scraping bots do not care about your Billboard chart position. They don't care about your follower count.
They're just hungry.
They are just giant blind vacuum cleaners indiscriminately sucking up raw data to feed a hungry mathematical model.
Right. They are scraping obscure Reddit threads, forgotten SoundCloud pages, and independent Bandcamp releases just as aggressively as they scrape mainstream platforms.
Exactly. In fact, if you are an independent artist with a highly unique, unconventional sound, a strange vocal cadence, or a weird beat structure,
yeah,
your data is actually more valuable to an AI developer.
Wait, seriously?
Yes, because they are trying to teach their model to produce diverse, non-generic outputs. Your distinct flavor is exactly what the machine needs to sound more human.
That is so counterintuitive, but it makes total sense.
If you don't lock down that unique sound early, it just gets absorbed into the collective digital consciousness. And your distinct artistic identity becomes just another preset ingredient in an AI's recipe book.
Wow. That perfectly frames the celebrity example that Carrie Oberbrunner highlights in our sources. He points directly to the psychology and business acumen of Taylor Swift.
Yes, to illustrate the mindset required to survive this era. It's a very deliberate comparison. Oberbrunner points out that Taylor Swift didn't wait until she was playing sold-out stadiums across the globe to take her intellectual property seriously.
Right.
She treated her art, her lyrics, and her brand as highly valuable business assets from the very beginning of her career.
The exact quote from the source is, "She protected her work early. Every creator deserves the opportunity to do the same."
Which is so powerful.
It is. And that concept, the Taylor Swift mindset, is a massive psychological shift for a lot of creators.
Oh, absolutely.
Because artists, especially early in their careers, often suffer from crippling imposter syndrome.
They do. They view their music as just a hobby.
Exactly. Or they think they need to wait for external validation.
Yeah.
You know, a record deal, a viral moment, a certain threshold of streams before they are allowed to treat their art as a legitimate, protectable asset.
And the Taylor Swift mindset is the direct antidote to that imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
It means respecting your own labor enough to declare ownership of it the moment it leaves your brain.
I love that.
It is acknowledging that your creative output has inherent value, regardless of whether a record label has validated it yet.
Right.
In the age of generative AI, if you don't take your own art seriously enough to protect it, the algorithms will certainly take it seriously enough to exploit it.
That's incredibly well said. And to help creators bridge that gap between understanding the theory and actually taking action, the source material notes a very specific practical launch offer.
Yes.
The team behind Sing the IP and Instant IP understands that talking about cryptographic hashing and blockchain ledgers can sound incredibly intimidating.
Very intimidating.
Yeah.
Especially to a musician whose primary focus is just writing good hooks.
Exactly.
It can be overwhelming. The technological barrier to entry often causes paralysis.
People just freeze up.
Right. Artists think, I don't have a background in computer science. I don't understand how to interact with a decentralized ledger. So I'll just do nothing.
Right. So to remove that barrier, the initiative is offering a complimentary intellectual property protection credit.
Which is amazing.
They want creators to experience the user interface firsthand, to see that creating this digital DNA swab doesn't require a computer science degree.
It's actually very intuitive.
Yeah, they've set up a specific portal at instanttip.todaysinger where anyone can claim a free IP credit.
Right.
You just drop an audio file or a lyric sheet into the system and it instantly generates that immutable, time-stamped proof of ownership.
It brilliantly shifts the power dynamic.
It really does.
It takes away the financial excuse and the technical excuse. It puts the agency directly back into the hands of the creator.
Which is where it belongs.
Exactly. By letting them test the system for free, it proves that establishing that ironclad digital boundary is actually as simple as uploading a file to an email.
It's so easy.
It democratizes the kind of IP protection that used to require a team of expensive entertainment lawyers.
Absolutely. So as we start to wrap up this deep dive into the collision of music and AI, I want to pivot to the final and, frankly, deeply uplifting message that Oberbrunner leaves us with in the text.
Yeah, we need some uplift here.
Because it is so easy to read about massive data scraping, vocal cloning, and corporate algorithms and just get completely overwhelmed and cynical.
It really is.
It's enough to make a musician want to put their guitar in its case, shove it in the back of the closet, and refuse to share anything with the world ever again.
Which would be the ultimate tragedy.
Right.
If artists stop sharing because of the threat of theft, the technology wins by default. The world becomes a colder, more synthetic place.
Exactly. And his message directly combats that paralysis.
What does he say?
The source states very clearly, the answer isn't fear, the answer is protection.
I love that.
He argues that the world still desperately needs your human voice.
It does.
The world needs the messy, emotional, lived experience that only human music can convey. So the directive isn't to stop creating. The directive is simply to create safely.
Yes. Keep writing. Keep recording. Keep sharing your gifts with the world.
Just make sure your creativity is cryptographically locked down before it is blindly fed into the next AI training model.
It's about being proactive rather than reactive. Mm. If you establish your sovereignty first, you can promote your work with complete freedom and peace of mind.
Right.
Knowing that the structural integrity of your ownership is mathematically secured.
So I want to throw this question directly to you, the listener.
Yeah.
Because while we've focused heavily on the music industry today, this dynamic applies to everything.
Really everything.
Whether you are a musician tracking vocals, a writer drafting a novel, a coder building a new software architecture, or a business owner sketching out a unique marketing framework.
It's all IP.
Exactly. How are you establishing undeniable ownership of your unique ideas before you expose them to the internet?
That is the question.
Are you relying on the slow gears of traditional bureaucracy, or are you adapting to the speed of the machines?
Right.
Are you leaving the front door of your digital house wide open, or are you mathematically locking it down first?
I will leave you with this final, perhaps slightly unsettling thought to ponder as you go about your day. As AI-generated audio continues to improve exponentially, and as these algorithms inevitably reach a point where synthetic voices become completely, flawlessly indistinguishable from human talent.
Which is coming soon.
It is. Will we soon enter a world where the true premium value of a song is no longer just determined by how catchy the melody is or how good the vocals sound?
Oh, okay.
Will the ultimate metric of value become the cryptographic proof attached to the file? Proving that a living, breathing human being actually experienced the emotion required to create it.
That is wild to think about.
As synthetic art approaches perfection, verifiable humanity might just become the most valuable currency we have left.
That is a profoundly heavy but necessary thought to end on. Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into musical sovereignty and the future of creative ownership. Go protect the art you've spent your life meticulously crafting. We'll see you next time.